Hey Ding Dongs, I'm Jamie.
I'm Richard.
And this is Explain It to Jamie, the political comedy podcast in which I, Jamie, a politically innocent but curious young man, have the complicated political happenings of the world explained to him by his politically savvy friend Richard, who is now in the same room as me.
That's right, everyone. Wubba lubba love back in Canada.
Yeah, for those of you that are just tuning in now, Richard has spent the last month in New York. The Big Apple, the greasy
greasy goblin.
Greasy goblin, the dank, dismal donut of the
East. Nice. Now
he's back up here in old Canada town, Toronto, Ontario.
I gotta tell you, nothing teaches you more about what your city is than going to another city for an entire month. Nothing, you know, like when you're in a place for a while, you start to be like, this is like neutral.
Right.
But I've like Toronto, like when I come back to Toronto, I'm like, oh shit, no, it's not, like Toronto's super clean.
Right.
It's almost weird.
Hot take, if you go on vacation, you come back to where you're from, learning a little bit more about the world.
you may have a new perspective on the place that you come from.
We're back in the same room, and we're back in action.
Yeah.
Getting the hard topics explained.
That's right. So, Jamie, what is it you want to know about this week?
I want to know about Omar Khadr.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit. Open up a big old can of potential awkward.
Grab that can of worms that I brought here, and just fire that thing in from the closed position to the open position.
Pee!
Oh, it's full of pee. Oh, this isn't worms at all.
Oh.
Oh, is this why people say you shouldn't open a can of worms? Is because they're inevitably full to the brim with
pee.
Mother's own urine.
They're classic practical joke things. If you buy a can of beans, it opens up and worms pop out. But if you buy a can of worms, you open it, it's just warm pee.
Man, that must really razz people at Canadian Thanksgiving when they have the traditional dessert worms.
Yes, it does.
Classic. For those of you who are not Canadians and who have no idea who Omar Khadr is, I mean, we'll talk about it, obviously, but this is a big issue in Canada right now. It's the kind of thing that you hear about everywhere, and that everyone's uncle who doesn't get invited to Thanksgiving anymore has a lot of opinions about, let me tell you. So I'm excited to peel back some of the lie layers from this truth onion and examine the truthy pit of this truth onion. I've never seen an onion before. I've only had them described to me by
Shrek.
Yeah, by Shrek.
What do you say we hop into the theme song here?
I say, let's do it!
And we're back.
Okay, so Jamie.
Yes.
What do you know about Omar Khadr?
Well, I know that Omar and Khadr went to White Castle, where they were in search of some sweet bergs to satiate their munchy cravings.
Their
I think they ran into a Neil Patrick Harris and maybe a unicorn. I don't really remember the movie.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and your conservative uncles hate it because it shows it's too much freedom.
That's right.
Or not enough freedom. What are they mad about? They're always mad about something to do with freedom. But
yeah, it's deep inside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Inside that truth onion.
Yeah, it's the freedom of love that they'll never experience.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so Omar Khadr, let's just do a quick overview of this story for those who may not be familiar, who aren't from Canada. So Omar Khadr is a Canadian who was born to parents who are both Canadian citizens but who came originally from Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
And in the early 2000s, his father took him from Canada to Afghanistan, where his father joined Al-Qaeda, and also Omar joined Al-Qaeda as well, fighting against American occupation forces in Afghanistan.
Wow.
Omar was 15 years old, or 14 years old at the time, I think, when he was taken. And in 2002, the American army bombed the compound that Omar and his father were living and working in, and where they were based.
Hmm.
And when Delta Force Air Rangers came in and swept the building where they assumed there were no survivors, somebody threw a grenade that killed one of the American soldiers. And in the ensuing melee, there were two people shot. One guy was killed, and the other was Omar Khadr, who is still alive. He was shot twice and then taken to Guantanamo Bay. He was 15 years old at the time. And okay, this was in 2002.
Wow. First of all, do you know what I was doing when I was 15?
What were you doing when you were 15, Jamie?
Begging my mom to let me get an eyebrow piercing.
When I was 15, I wore exclusively like baggy fucking jeans from Mark's Work Warehouse with a studded belt that I bought at the Rock Shop.
Oh yeah.
And a fucking Real Big Fish 3/4 baseball tee. Like, that was my favorite outfit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sweet, sweet Omar Khadr was getting shot and getting locked up.
Yeah, he's like a year or two older than us.
Huh?
I think. Wow. I think he's in 86. So yeah, he's like 2 years older than us.
Right.
And he was, you and me were like desperately trying to touch a boob and like, you know, drinking two Amstel Lights and puking in a gutter.
Trying to touch one. I was just doing my best to like keep a mental image of one, what one might look like in my brain.
At all times.
From like what I memorized from some scrap pornography I found on the side of the road.
Yeah. While we were doing that, Omar was, you know, was forced into working for Al-Qaeda. He was making improvised explosive devices in Afghanistan and getting his compound blown up. And he was shot twice.
Right.
In the raid on his compound.
Okay, so let me just summate, because what you said was a lot of action. So he's, him and his parents are Canadian. His parents are from Egypt originally.
Yeah, he's born in Canada too.
When he was 14, his father brought him to Afghanistan, mm-hmm. where him and his father fought for Al-Qaeda.
That's right.
And his dad was shot.
Oh, so dead. This when this compound was blown up,
yeah.
They thought everyone was dead. This compound was bombed to absolute fucking back.
Right.
When they went in, there were two people still alive. They killed one and shot Omar Khadr, the only survivor, twice.
That's ironic, because when I was 15, all I wanted was to go to fuck and back. Ha ha!
Nice.
So Omar Khadr was shot and he's alive, but he was detained and brought to
Guantanamo Bay.
And there's some, and I think from what I've read, this is going to become important later. There's a U.S. soldier who was like
U.S. medic was killed. What happened was a grenade got thrown
right.
by somebody
right.
when they entered the compound. It blew up. It killed one of the Army Rangers, airborne Rangers. Sorry, and then another lost an eye. Was injured and lost an eye.
Right.
I'm only stating the absolutely 100% confirmable facts of the case.
Okay.
There are many interpretations to fill in the blanks of what may or may not have happened. But what I'm saying to you, I've done as much research as I can about this, because the talking about this case in Canada and now in the US as well, which we'll get into, is full of lies, like full of lies. And so this is what's true. What I'm telling you right now is the stuff that's for sure true, that everyone right. agrees is true and nobody disagrees about.
Okay.
Okay? So after this, he was taken to Guantanamo Bay, where he was, you know, like everybody in Guantanamo Bay, tortured and kept in solitary confinement in completely inhumane conditions. And
is that what they do at Guantanamo Bay?
Yeah.
I thought Guantanamo Bay was like the Cuban Disneyland.
No, it's like Montego Bay. Oh, okay. It's next door.
Oh, okay.
That's next door. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Very different.
Right.
So he was tortured, you know, forcibly coerced, sexually assaulted. He was raped, you know, kept in he was chained to the floor mm-hmm. in his room. And in 2003, I think in 2004, Canadian intelligence officers came to Guantanamo Bay and interrogated him and left. And this was the start of kind of what got the ball rolling to where we are now. Because of the Geneva Convention, which Canada is a signatory to, in 1977... there were a bunch of shit about child soldiers at the Geneva Convention. The long and short of which basically is that you're not allowed to use child soldiers, obviously. Mm. And they're not considered...
Because they're too good.
Yeah, that's right. Your fucking bones are so bendy, they haven't set yet, man. It's like... It's like
cheating.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. They're too raw. They were like, yo, we got to be sportsmanlike about this.
Right.
No, you can't... You're not allowed to use them, and they can't be prosecuted as, like, full adults for their crimes because they're minors. Like, if you put a child in a combat situation, it's always by coercion, right? There's very few children volunteering for war. You're not able to make a decision for yourself. Like, you can't sign a fucking contract if you're underage without a witness that's overage, right? So, in international law, a child soldier is not responsible for stuff they do,
right,
in their capacity as a child soldier, especially if there's an aspect of indoctrination or coercion or imprisonment, right. And that's also reinforced by the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of the Child, which Canada is also a signatory to. So basically, when Canadian officials fly down there, interrogate him and let him stay there, they've just broken all of Canada's Geneva Convention and UN Rights of the Child obligations. And this is kind of the legal wedge that this is kind of like the beginning of the case that builds to help Omar Khadr get some justice. What ends up happening is there's like a kind of series of circuitous legal things, but the Americans are trying to get him to admit that he threw the grenade that killed the soldier who was in the compound. Now, normally soldiers cannot be criminally charged for fighting against another enemy combatant in a combat zone. It's not a crime to do that, right? It's part of the course of hostilities. So even if you capture an enemy soldier, you can't charge them with murder if they shot at your soldiers who are coming and shooting at them.
Right.
That's not murder, that's war. It's like a different legal thing. But they did charge him with murder. They charged him with like a form of murder that was like murder of a combat personnel in a combat zone or something like that. I can't remember what the exact term is. It's weird legalese. And they're trying to get him to confess to throwing the grenade.
Right.
And he denied for quite some time that he threw the grenade. But then eventually, with the help of his lawyer, he pled guilty essentially to the charges and was released back to Canada on bail. So they paid the bail and he was released back into society. He actually lives in Edmonton now, with the family of the lawyer who worked for free for many, many years to help get him released. And he was released in 2009 or 10.
Right.
But what happened then was he sued the government of Canada for
leaving him
in Guantanamo Bay, which completely breaks all of the regulations and laws that we have about it.
Right.
And basically, the government of Canada fought him for a little while, but it's just come out the government of Canada is settling with him for $10.5 million.
Right.
They're going to pay him $10.5 million because they completely breached all of their obligations to him and all of their obligations to the Geneva Convention and the UN Declarations of the Rights of the Child.
Right.
And that's kind of where we are today. But the only reason we know about who he is because there's this huge controversy over this. And already the like bullshit, overweight, like three quarters of their time on the golf course, bad time motherfuckers of the like idiot right-wing Canadian media are just running away with all of this shit, with the Omar Khadr case. And they're using the Omar Khadr case, like this should be a completely cut and dried case. Like the reason the government of Canada settled with him is because they were like, we were gonna lose this case. And we already spent $5 million on legal fees. So literally the cheapest thing for us to do was to pay him $10.5 million. Mm. Or else we could spend another $5 or $10 million on legal fees and then have to settle with him for $10 million, then we've wasted twice as much money. They're like his rights were completely violated, and they knew it. They could have fought it, but they decided to settle. Sure,
right. And cut your losses and go.
Right. So, but the conservative party and the conservative media and your racist uncle, not your specific racist uncle. I've actually met some of your uncles. They're super cool. But all of our racist uncles.
Yeah, yeah. The theoretical racist uncle
of everybody. They're losing their fucking minds over this. And here's some of the things that you hear about it are like, Canada's paying, they're rewarding a convicted terrorist for doing terrorism.
Right.
Right? So let's smack this one down right away. It's like, no, they're not rewarding a convicted terrorist for doing terrorism. What's happening is they're fucking settling with him because of violating his rights.
Right.
Because they literally knew he was there when he was 15 years old, getting tortured every single day. And they left him there when they, every other country in the world that had a minor in Guantanamo Bay extradited that minor, like asked the American government to give that minor over and took them back to their countries and dealt with them there.
Right.
Except Canada for Omar Khadr.
So how long was Omar Khadr in Guantanamo Bay for?
I think he was in there 13 years.
13 years.
His entire adult life so was spent in Guantanamo Bay.
So 15 to 28.
Yeah, that's right. He was 15 in 2002. He was released on bail in 2015.
Wow.
And the court case stuff came in 2009, 2010.
Right.
They keep calling him a convicted terrorist. And the reason they say that is because he confessed to throwing the grenade after he had been tortured and sexually assaulted for years.
Yeah.
And then once he got released, he was like, no, I didn't. I don't remember if I threw the grenade. I had been blown up by a bomb and was in the rubble,
yeah.
And then I got shot twice. I don't remember if I threw the grenade or not. I'm sorry, that's the honest truth, which is what he had said all along until he confessed also, because he denied it many, many, many times.
Right.
And so he's the money's not about him being a terrorist. It's not about rewarding a terrorist. It's right. Literally about if the government completely fucks you,
yeah.
You have a... Maybe the government will pay you $10 million a decade and a half later.
Right.
Like, which I think is like a small comfort, but it should be a comfort to every single one of us. Let's be real. But like, I don't know. The vibe I get, honestly, off of some of the way that people are talking about this is that what this is a war of narratives, right? Like, it's a war between the us versus them, like post 9/11 Islamophobia, Muslims are bad people, and between everyone else, basically. Like the poisonous, gross shit that people have been saying about him is completely removed from reality, A, or is completely disingenuous, B. Like, mm-hmm. I read an entire article from the Toronto Sun, which I regret doing, but I did just to see what people are saying about it,
right.
That, like, literally didn't argue any of the facts of the case and just asked a series of questions in a way that was supposed to be like, I'm just saying, like, are you comfortable with your taxpayer dollars going to someone who is a terrorist for Al-Qaeda? Like, that kind of thing. And it's like, well, you're literally not talking about what's happening here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're not talking about anything that's happening
right,
here.
Right, you're talking about a kid that was taken to another country by his father, indoctrinated by his father.
Yes.
Put in a situation that's... Yeah, that ended badly for him and his dad.
Yeah.
And now you're asking him to pay that price.
Yeah.
I guess I understand, like, no, I don't want to say I understand. I am curious as to his, like, rehabilitation. You know what I mean?
I don't think
But I don't hold that as grounds for not being necessarily compensated. You know what I mean? For having that awful thing done to you.
Like, compensation is done in response to a crime.
Right.
Like, I can be a huge asshole, but if somebody hits me with their car, even if I'm a jerk, they still have to...
Yeah.
They still are liable for hitting me with the car. The government completely let him down. And that's what they're paying for. They're not paying for anything other than that, right? The government hit him with their car.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He could be anybody, any Canadian citizen, and they would be owed the same thing.
Yeah, there's a... I know I reference Sam Harris sort of regularly, who, interestingly enough, now I have more of a hot and cold relationship with.
Yeah.
He's a bit of a contrarian, but a hyper-fucking intelligent dude.
Yeah.
But he was talking in one of his podcasts about how he thinks... the plea from the victim should be erased from court cases. So, like, you know, if someone murders someone, the family of the victim in court gets to come forward and say, this is how you made me feel, and this is how, like, who this person was to us, and
and
he, you know, he and others argue that that should be taken out of court, because that that is not factual, it's emotional, and it's, and it could be used to sway a jury, but it doesn't matter, you know, like, the point is, it does, like, it could have been done in, like, broad daylight, all the proof in the world, but we can't allow that to be in our justice system, because it's not justice.
Yeah.
Let the justice system do what it does.
Yeah.
And take the emotion out of it. And I think, I don't know, I'm even just saying that kind of makes me double back on what I've just said and thought. But like, I think, I don't know.
His case is fascinating because it's, spears all of these questions about justice, about who's entitled to justice and what justice means, and about racism and anti-Muslim sentiment and fear and surveillance, you know, and information gathering and intelligence agencies in the post 9/11 world. He kind of encapsulates all those things. Like, this is kind of a fucked up detail, but there's like another very famous, it's very sad, there's another famous Canadian case of a guy named Maher Arar. And Maher Arar was a Syrian who emigrated to Canada in like the 80s. He was a software engineer and was just a normal dude. He became a Canadian citizen, but he kept his Syrian citizenship. And immediately after 9/11, a year or two after, he was coming home from vacation in Tunisia and flying through Europe, and he just got pulled off a plane and taken to a jail, like an American jail, because people thought, because he had been talked to this one guy in Ottawa who was, they thought maybe he had connections to terrorists, but because he like hung out with this guy,
right,
that he went to jail, and they extradited him to Syria, and he spent years in, 10 months in a like in a tiny jail cell in Syria being tortured,
right,
this completely innocent Canadian guy. And it was because CSIS gave a bad tip.
Footnote, check out our Edward Snowden episode.
Yeah, and this really intersects with the Snowden episode stuff. And they were trying to get Omar Khadr to admit that he had met Maher Arar, and then Maher Arar was also a terrorist. This is all happening at the same time.
Right.
And Maher Arar was given $11.5 million by the Canadian government. And Maher Arar was never even anywhere close to a combat situation. So this one was a lot less controversial among les racistes,
right,
as they're called in Quebec.
Because he was a completely innocent man being detained, whereas Omar Khadr is like, not necessarily.
He was a child soldier. Yeah. We have a word for it. He was a fucking child soldier. It implies all the things and all the complexities of that. Right. Like, I mean, like, he's 15. His dad is with him. Like, he's in fucking Afghanistan. He doesn't have any of his own money. Like, what's he, like, if you're with Al-Qaeda and you're like, do you have the option to say, no, I don't want to do this? I do not think that you do. Even if, so we'll never know what he was feeling in his heart. Maybe he was totally indoctrinated. But that's what happens with child soldiers, and they're still not they're not legally liable for their own actions. That's the whole point of that classification, right? Because children are not able to make decisions as adults, and they're trusting of the adults around them, and that trust can be totally poisoned and used for all kinds of evil.
Right. So that, you know, when that day that we all sat down and wrote the rules of the Geneva Convention, we didn't write them so that later we could go, but now we have to follow them.
That's exactly right. And it raises a huge question about like the rule of law.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, if your government promises to do these things for you, if they just don't do them, what the fuck is our whole country?
Right, that's like, pointless.
Like, if our protections don't extend to a brown kid who maybe was in a combat zone, but like, it's not even like he was gonna be fucking handed like a suite at the Hilton and like a real good hand job. Like, all that should have happened was he should have been taken back to Canada and given due process here, where we don't torture people.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then maybe he could have gone to fucking, like, anything could have happened to him here. But but it was because we left him there, knowing that he was there and knowing that he was a child, that we fucked up. And I feel like that's a pretty easy fuck up to admit. Like, yes, that is a huge mistake.
Yeah.
annoying conservative people, sometimes I've seen this one too. They're like, you know, one of the things, there's a photo of him apparently making an IED, you know, like an improvised explosive device, which were left as kind of like booby traps and were responsible for a lot of the deaths of Canadian soldiers. Like almost half, I think, were deaths from IEDs.
Right.
And they were like, he should be prosecuted for making the weapons that kill Canadian soldiers. And I'm like, follow that thread for 5 seconds and tell me where you end up. Like, you're telling me that you think people who make weapons that then later on kill soldiers are should be held legally liable for those deaths? Like, you want to, like, are we going to fucking arrest half of the board members of, like, the fucking Canadian opera company then? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like we're going to be arresting a lot of rich white dudes in suits if you want to really tug on this motherfucker.
Yeah, yeah.
Sun newspaper. Like, be careful.
Yeah.
I don't, there's well, also, absolutely again, no precedent
like,
for that.
Again,
right?
Like, rules of war, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know what the rules of war are, but like the idea that someone, like you said at the beginning, could throw a grenade, kill a soldier who's shooting at you, and then later you get prosecuted for murder.
Not just that. Like, imagine we're sitting here, the roof explodes, and you crawl out of the rubble, and there's a dude coming in, and he's shooting me, like my fucking dead body in the rubble. Like, what are you gonna do if you have if there's a grenade near you? You're probably gonna throw it. There's a good argument to be made that you don't even know what you're doing if a fucking bomb explodes and your entire building is collapsed around you.
I mean, Malcolm Gladwell in Blink makes the argument that in moments of extreme stress, which firing a weapon and being around firing weapons turns people temporarily autistic and unable to make social
that's so interesting.
Decisions. Yeah, it's pretty fucking interesting.
Is that why I'm such an asshole when I play House of the Dead at the movie theater?
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
I'm glad we finally got this out in the open.
Yeah, I've been meaning to talk to you about your House of Dead movie theater autism.
Look. I don't care how much we paid for the fucking tickets. I don't care if it's 4DX. I have to defeat the Scythler or whatever. I have to defeat the Bone Lord.
Yeah. Wow, this is a messed up... it's messed up. It sounds like it's more or less resolved. There's nothing really that,
this
like...
This is what's sad. It's not resolved. Like, so this is the fucked up chapter two of this whole thing.
Okay.
Is that prominent conservative politicians in Canada have started going on conservative TV shows in America and completely lying about the facts of this case. So like Michelle Rempel, who's like a conservative politician, went on Tucker Carlson and said, Canada's doing this big payout to a terrorist, you know, like all the kind of like lie talking points went over. And what's freaky about it is the enmeshing of the like right-wing misinformation shows, you know, like we've watched some Tucker Carlson in service of trying to like get material for this show. Like his whole thing is he's super contrarian, will zoom in pedantically on a single point with a guest he disagrees with and badger them like it invalidates their entire argument, and he always makes this face like he's confused about like he just got the wrong order at fucking McDonald's and confused about why, like angry and confused about why it happened,
right?
So, like, they're starting to plug our politics into that outrage machine.
Right?
Like, and that's really troubling. And, like, it's gotten to the point now where, like, the people who disagree with the Omar Khadr settlement aren't actually disagreeing with what it is. They're disagreeing with a completely made up other story that isn't actually what happened, right? And I mean that like literally. Like they think the Canadian government is paying a terrorist because Justin Trudeau's a secret Muslim or some shit. Like they don't have any way into the story that involves the facts of the case.
Right.
And that's the world that's super worrying, because like how do you build a society with those people in it at all, right? Like it becomes really troubling. It's like if we can't talk to each other about the facts of these cases anymore, maybe like it's one thing to be like, yeah, I disagree with the amount of the settlement. I think it's too high. I really wish this didn't have to happen. I really don't like that the Trudeau government hasn't been very transparent with it. That's one thing, and that I think is a valid critique.
Right.
But if you're saying like, we shouldn't be paying a convicted terrorist. It's like you're not talking about what this is anymore. You have no clue what this is, but you're just lipping off about it, right?
Like, well, let me ask you this, Richard. If Trudeau isn't a secret Muslim, then why is his wife so into yoga?
That's the sound of my mind being blown. Yeah. Call Rebel Media. Tell them they've got two new podcasters signed up.
Oh God. The world is so fucked. Yeah. Let's just hold our hands and walk dandily into the mail
fucking
stream.
Ocean. Yeah, I know. Yeah. As a sidebar too, Omar Khadr is getting the $10.5 million from the government, but he's still... now he's open to litigation from, like, the widow of the soldier who died is suing him for, like, $130 million. I don't think she'll get it. And she's suing to get his money that he got from the Canadian government.
Right.
I don't think she's going to get it because there's, like, super, super conflicting evidence about who threw this grenade.
Right.
Nobody saw Omar Khadr do it for sure. Omar has said he... totally doesn't remember if he threw it or not. He has no usable like recollection of this moment of his life. Mm-hmm. And there was definitely two dudes alive. There was another guy alive in addition to him who was near an AK-47 at the moment and was killed, shot and killed on the scene.
And it was in a war zone.
And it was in a war zone. Yeah, it was in a war zone.
That's so...
And he was a child soldier. Like, so I don't think she's going to get it. But that is happening. Like, he's being sued now for
hundreds of millions of
dollars.
Isn't that the whole thing about being a soldier? Is that it's dangerous? Is that, like, you know, the thing is you're being brave and you might not come home?
Whole thing about being a soldier was mostly, like, nice boots and a bunch of buds to tell stories with.
Yeah.
And grow a little.
Sweet little club to be in.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about haircuts.
No, I mean, like, this is what's crazy, is there's kind of this weird loophole in the American system where you're not supposed to be able to charge a soldier with anything.
Right.
But apparently now
unless
you can.
Unless they break the
unless,
laws.
Unless you fucking feel like it. I mean, Guantanamo Bay is like, it's so illegal. Right. Like, it's so illegal what's happening there.
Right. Do you think Trump will close down Guantanamo Bay?
Yeah, you know what? I actually think that's gonna be the thing. If that flips him, it's gonna be like the Grinch.
Yeah,
you know, his heart's gonna grow 10 sizes. He's gonna go down Mount Torture and fucking give out Christmas presents to all the inmates at Guantanamo Bay. They're gonna hold hands in a circle and they're gonna sing, you know, fucking God Bless America.
Yeah, maybe,
maybe,
just maybe.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, is there anything else you want to throw onto the
sadness fire?
Sadness fire.
No. He's a dude who just wants to like live his life.
Right.
Honestly, I don't think he's in danger of committing any more terrorism. That's for sure.
Right.
Like, even if he did kill that Marine, even if he did kill it, maybe being tortured and raped for 13 years is a fair punishment.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
Maybe losing your entire adulthood and your entire, almost your whole 20s is like, that's a lot of penance, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, what's justice in the end?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think of like, what was I watching? It was a thing on prisons in different countries. And they're talking about like Norwegian prisons versus U.S. prisons. And Norwegian prisons are very much a... what's the word I'm looking for? Not recuperation. Reformation based. So like you do your crime, you get charged, you go to prison, and then they spend the entire time of your sentence trying to make you into a productive person who is, you know, grown from your mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And then they let you out. After you've done your time,
right.
You know? And so, like, there's a bunch of criticism of it, of, like, murderers who go to a Norwegian prison and then get released and try and live their lives again, you know? And the criticism in this documentary was coming from U.S. people being like, can you believe that this guy kills someone and they only pay 6 years of their life? But the point being...
Yeah, because, I mean, it's true. Why shouldn't they have a prison system as great as the U.S. is, which... works perfectly and everyone wishes was everywhere.
Well, and sort of like, yeah, the whole point of this thing I was watching was saying, like, at the end of the day, would you rather, in a dark alley late at night, would you rather run into a guy that spent 20 years in a U.S. prison or a guy that spent 5 years in a Norwegian prison?
Yeah.
And like, every day I would run into a Norwegian guy for sure.
Well, like, any society that has real justice has justice for the people who deserve it the least. You know what I mean? In their society. Mm. Like, that's what makes this case so fucked up for us is like, yes, Omar Khadr deserves the protections that he's due. Mm-hmm. Those protections extend to him, and he is entitled to those protections.
Right. And he wrote the laws.
Yeah.
Now we have to put our money where our
mouth
is. If
we can't give him that, what right do we have to be smug about anything? You know what I mean? I will say, too, that like, it really freaks me out how these right-wing people are refusing to embrace reality on this one. Mm. And I think we're seeing in real time this war of narratives about the world right now. And more often, they're literally discarding any ideas that don't conform to their narrative. They're preserving their narrative about Muslims being evil terrorists, even when it has no place, even when it completely is irrelevant and doesn't. The facts of this case don't really, it doesn't matter if he's a terrorist or not, the facts of this case. That's how the law works, right? Mm. Like, they will not hear it, and they do not hear it. And that, to me, this is a huge warning sign for the future. If they're not able to be talked to about something like this, I feel like they'll be less able to be talked to about something that's critically important for our whole country. Sure. This is critically important for our whole country. It's about our country's soul and our country's fairness, but like,
it's also being blown out of proportion.
It's being blown very much out of proportion.
Right.
Like, yeah, I don't know. The conservative outrage machine is so fucking out of control, and it's so distasteful and shitty, and like actively poisoning the brains of many people in our society every single day. Mm. Like, I don't know. We all have a huge responsibility, I think, to like really stay on our game and make sure we know the facts about stuff and just try to get through to people whenever you can, you know, like it's cause that's a game that's being fucking played for keeps, right? Like at the best case scenario, those people are all just trying to get money off of people who they can make afraid and convince that giving them money is the only way to do it. Like, definitely rebel media is just trying to squeeze a lot of people for money. But at its freakiest and worst, there are people who believe that we're in like a serious culture war and who are totally at war with the idea of like pluralism, you know. Mm. There's people who are like fetishizing the Crusades and see themselves as modern day crusaders who like work for rebel media and blog about that shit all the time and use that exact language when they're talking about these like Muslim people and people from other places and minorities and things like that in Canada, and like our shitty racist uncles are listening to those people every day. We just have to be ready to talk to them about this stuff. Yeah. That's what I think.
It's good to have you back, buddy.
Oh, it's nice to be back, man. It's nice to not be talking to a computer all the time.
It is. You know, I feel like it's easier to get rhythm when we're in the same room.
Yeah. Plus the sex.
Plus the sex is so much better.
Yeah, that's right. I'm so sick of this vibrator that's connected to Wi-Fi that vibrates both of our butts and in time.
I got you that for Christmas. Guys, if you have anything to add or any questions on top of this topic, please send them in. You can find us on the Twitter, on the Facebook, on the Google.
On all the things. Explain it to Jamie. @ Explain Jamie on Twitter, SoundCloud, everything.
If you like the podcast, please share, subscribe.
Yeah, tell a friend.
Tell a friend. That's the biggest favor you can do for me and Richard right now. We would love you forever and really appreciate it. If you have any ideas for topics, throw them our way. Same route.
We listen to them. We do them.
We do them. And also, we're now opening up for suggestions for alt-right safari topics. So if you run into any crazy right wing.
Yeah, if you see anything real spicy, just send it our way,
and we'll take some shots at it.
Until next time,
I'm Jamie.
I'm Richard.
This has been Explain It to Jamie.